What a wondrous grace, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that brought us to the fold. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. We would like to look this morning at Jesus Christ, the ultimate spokesman from heaven. Do you know Jesus? Do you really know who he is? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, I think that many times sometimes you think that you know someone, but you're greatly surprised when you find out sometimes who they really are. And I remember a number of years ago, when our girls were young, we had a golden retriever. We were selling puppies from our golden retriever. And we had a man that came to buy one. He came in on crutches. He came in and I think his wife was there with him. And he came in and I asked him after he liked our puppy and he bought it. And as he was going out, I asked him, I says, "What do you do?" He said, I work for the Cleveland Browns. And I says, "Well, what do you do with them?" And he says, "Well, I'm a quarterback." You know, being somewhat sports illiterate, the name of Gary Danielson didn't mean a thing to me. He probably thought we were really something. We didn't have any idea who he was. We had his name when he came in because he had called. But you know, Jesus Christ comes to us on a supremely higher level than any could come. All human personalities and angelic personalities fade completely into the background in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Has his majesty yet flooded your soul of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? The book of Hebrews here begins with a beautiful introduction of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you didn't know who he was before opening this book, you would immediately know more than most of the rest of the world has been willing to recognize. One commentator said this. He said, in the first three verses of the epistle, he sums up all that he intends to say. Christ is the pure revelation of God, the epitome of all truth and more. God has fully and completely expressed himself in Christ. These verses either mention or allude to a number of the unique attributes of Christ: his heirship, his creatorship, his glory, his essence, his governance of the universe, his sacrifice, and his exaltation. There's an awful lot in these three verses that we would like to look at this morning. The first thing is Christ, the ultimate spokesman. It says God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. The word there, sundry times, it's that could be also translated in many portions. God has given us somewhat piecemeal, we would say, and yet, according to his plan, at different times, over a period of, 1,800 years, Genesis to Revelation, you have the you've got in the old, but looking at the Old Testament books from Genesis to Malachi, 39 books the Lord has given to us in various, in sundry times, many different places and portions the Lord has given to us. And it says in divers manners or in various ways, there is that some of the Old Testament scriptures are written in poetry. There's the visions that the prophets, the visions of the prophets, various ways that he brought to sometimes in kind of a parable of speaking. But our Lord gave us a progressive revelation in our Old Testament scriptures, and of course, and even the same in the New. Always giving what he wanted man to know at a specific given time. Our scriptures are a marvelous, very carefully given word of God that he gave in time past through the prophets. I had a discussion with a man just 2 days ago speaking about the scriptures and talking about how, well, they're just of man, and other religions have their works that are the writings of men. But oh, how much he's missing. How much he is missing as I sought to try to declare to him and just pray that the Lord will open his eyes and his mind to the precious word of God. Something that God has given. God has given this. This isn't something that was just given by man. It says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. You see, the scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is God-breathed. God gave it to men. And they wrote down, and he carefully superintended that what they wrote was what he wanted to be written, so that we have the infallible, inerrant Word of God. What a blessed thing God has done in giving us the Scriptures. So in times past, and here as we're looking at the book of Hebrews, he's speaking here, first of all, in these first verse and a half, he's speaking to us about the Old Testament scriptures that God gave to us through different portions, through different times, in various ways. The Old Testament scriptures have come together. Though they were written over a period, over a long period of time in various portions, yet there is a unity. There is a unity that starts in the book of Genesis and follows through that, as we said, a progressive revelation where God has revealed himself. You don't find from one to another the contradictions of the writings of men, but you find God's revelation that he's given to men. And so it is not just a book of error, a book of that shows the weakness of men, but is a book that shows the power of our God, as God has revealed himself. And of course, that showed itself through the various prophecies and such that where he would speak of one thing that was going to be, and then hundreds of years later, it would come to pass exactly the way he said that it was going to do. How could that be? The liberal, the unbeliever that approaches God's word as just the work of men, they have sought to take things that were said of Isaiah and said, well, that couldn't have been written back then. It had to be written later because how else could it be? Well, Because God, who knows the end from the beginning, is the one who revealed, and God has spoken it. So this first verse, God, at sundry times and in divers manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. And what a blessed thing it is we have in the Old Testament scriptures, those things that God revealed to them. These men, as Moses, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and many different men God used and through whom them he spoke to give his revelation through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. But then when we come to the next verse, or the end of the second verse, he makes the transition. He's letting them know that there is another spokesman, a new spokesman. He hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. He hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. I think we have a little different usage of the last days here, in the sense that in the Jews' mind, and as the prophecies of the Old Testament scriptures were with the coming of the Messiah, that it would be in these last days that the Messiah would come. And certainly Jeremiah in the Old Testament spoke of that in Jeremiah 33. Let me read to you three verses from Jeremiah 33. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David. He shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called. Should be called the Lord our righteousness. As they looked to the time and the days when the Messiah would come, certainly we have the Old Testament scriptures, the Lord speaking to the prophets, and now in these last days we have the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here was a spokesman that was different from the others. Here was a spokesman that was different from the others. He said, he has spoken unto us by his Son. A whole new dimension. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he came and authenticated all that the prophets of the past had said. He spoke unto us by his Son. A whole new relationship. That ultimate expression of love for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That ultimate expression of love that he has given, not only speaking unto us by the prophets, but now in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And there of course enters the New Testament scriptures and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and what a blessing we have, as we now not only have as they those words spoken by our God to the prophets, but then we have the coming of his Son. And here we have, as we then enter into the New Testament scriptures, let's look at this one that he said he came unto us. He sent unto us his Son. The end of verse 2. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Here we have Christ, the owner, creator of all. Whom he hath appointed heir. You know, we have those today that are heir apparent. They have been designated as an heir, but that might or might not be. I think that's why they maybe use the word apparent, because something can happen and that person would not be heir. But there is no question here with the Lord Jesus. Nothing can change the fact of that which he is to receive, that which he is and that which comes from his glory in heaven. It is something that is his. He is appointed over all. It says, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. We start to learn of the Lord Jesus Christ that is not just some realm that has been given to him, but it says he is heir of all things. The very throne of God, the very heavens, the heaven of heavens, all of that which is of the throne of God and his domain, the heavens, and there you have all of the vastness of the universe and the expanse of however we still don't know how far it goes. Our scientists keep finding more and more, and the bigger the telescopes they're able to get, the further they find that things just go on. He is the heir of all things. He's the heir of the throne, the heaven of heavens, the heavens, the expanse of the universe. He is over all of the earth, over all. Philippians 2, verse 9, it talks about the exaltation of Christ. It says that at the name, it says he's given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow of things of heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Who is Jesus Christ? He is the one that is over all. There is nothing that is not of his realm. He is heir of all things. And it says, by whom he also made the worlds. The Lord Jesus Christ is our creator. He's our creator. When it says there, by whom also he made the worlds, that is an encompassing word that is used for the ages, not just the creator of what we see, but of all of time and space, of matter, all that exists. He's the creator of the worlds, of the ages, of the time, the space, and all that is there. This passage opens up to us the marvels of who is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 and verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In himself was life, as our creator. Life proceeded out from him. All things were made by him, without him there wasn't anything made that was made. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we see him as the creator. That again in Colossians 1:16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. There you have angelic hosts. You have everything. What says whether they be thrones, whether they be dominions or principalities or powers, All things were created by him and for him. There is nothing that exists. Yes, even the even when you think of Satan, Lucifer, and his being and that was a part of the angelic host and being a cast from heaven, and when a third of the host of heaven fell, those were all I mean, they are all subject to him. He was their creator. Consequently, when the Lord Jesus, when he was here on the earth, when he confronted them, there was an immediate recognition of his being over them. There was no, they had fear of him. He had no fear whatsoever of them. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. Verse 17 of Colossians 1. He is before all things, and by him everything consists. There is nothing, I mean, you've got him there as the creator. You have him here in that verse as the sustainer. You only exist today in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. By him, all things consist today. So there we see him, the owner of all things, the creator of all. He's heir of all things. He is the creator of all. And then when we come to the third verse, we see Christ as, yes, as God incarnate. It says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. The brightness of his glory. The word that is there translated brightness is a word that it's used, yes, it's used of reflection, like our moon reflects the brightness of the sun. But there is a brightness of radiance that this word is used for, that is a radiance where the light, the brightness comes from within the very essence of the one. It's not a reflection, but it is a radiance. Our sun radiates out. There is that is within it, with which the Lord Jesus put within it. And that is it, that is the radiance. It says he is the brightness of his glory. He is the brightness of, his is a brightness of radiance. He is the source of light. I saw that in the other verse where it says, in him was light. When that verse says, in him was light, that doesn't mean that he just gave light, but it's that he is the source of light. He is the source of light. In the scriptures, there were times when men reflected some of that, like when Moses was up on the mount, and Moses was there in the presence of God. That radiance, Moses come off the mount with his own face glowing, which was a reflection of the radiance from which had come from God. When it says he is the brightness of his glory, he is the brightness of radiance that comes from within him. He is the source of light that emanates from him. What do you say? When you meditate upon these thoughts, you just say, wow, my Lord Jesus Christ, the greatness, this is something that we see him now only in part, but someday we will experience visibly the light that will be emanating from the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter got only a small glimpse of the glory of Christ at the Transfiguration. But you know, someday we will experience and we will see light that is emanating from the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation speaks of that. When you come to Revelation chapter 21 and also in chapter 22, it tells us about the... Well, let me read about the city, about the new city, the new Jerusalem. It's in verse 23 of verse 21. And the city hath no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Wow, isn't that something? I've thought upon that and wondered at it. No need for the sun? No need for the moon to give light at night? No, because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at in Revelation 22 and verse 5. He says there, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. When it says the Lord Jesus Christ is the brightness of his glory, it is giving to us in a few words something that we are going to experience in days to come of the wonder and the glory of our God. To where there is no need for the candle. There will be no need for the flashlight. There's no need for the sun because of the Lord Jesus Christ and the light that will emanate from his person. So there we see Christ, yes, the brightness of his glory, the glory. It just, that brightness is going to be a demonstration of the glory of God. The brilliance of his person, it's a revelation of an expression of his glory. To him be glory forever and ever. We know that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. Philippians chapter 2. We know that all will worship him. We'll worship him because there we see the brightness of his glory. That is coming from his person. And the next thing that it says there in that passage is he is the express image. Wow. You know, to those that would teach about the Lord Jesus Christ being anything other than God incarnate, certainly have missed the teachings of this scripture. It says here, he says, and the express image of his person, it's the idea of a perfect duplication. It's an exact replica. That is the way that the word is used when something is just like another. But being the express image of his person, What did the Lord Jesus say to his disciples? I think of the passage where he was speaking to his disciples and then to Philip himself who asked him to show him the Father. The Lord Jesus said to them, "If ye had known me, you would have known my Father also, for from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us." And Jesus said, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you've not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou, show us the Father? Believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me." There is no doubt whatsoever that when we're talking of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is our God incarnate. His person. He's the express image of his person. That is his very essence. He's the express image of the very person of God, of his nature, of who he is. Jesus is the very God. When we get on ahead later and into verse 8 of this chapter, it says, "But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever." A scepter of righteousness. Oh, there's only one God. He is triune in his essence and nature, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He alone is to be worshiped. To worship any creature is an abomination to our God. The very first commandment, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." We worship our God and we worship him alone. One of the things that I spoke to a man a number of years ago that tried to debate again and again on this very subject. I said, "The Lord Jesus accepted worship. You only worship God. The angelic host, the greatest of the angels, could not accept any worship whatsoever. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." There is only one. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is worshiped, and he is to be worshiped because he is our God, the incarnate God. In the end of verse 3, towards the end, yes, he's the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. Here we see just another portion, another thing, and that is that Christ is all-powerful. He upholds all things by the word of his power. All is upheld by him. I mentioned Colossians 1:17, he's before all things, and by him all things consist. He is power. It is his power. He has all power and authority. He said in the Great Commission, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." He's all powerful. He spoke the worlds into being. He made everything that there is out of nothing. That's the word create, is to make out of nothing. He is all powerful. He is omnipotent. Of course, we've seen that as we've looked through his person. We see him in creation. We see all that he's done. But he just emphasizes this, that he upholds all things by the word of his power. And then we see as we proceed further, when he had by himself purged our sins. When he had by himself purged our sins. Yes, Christ, our Savior. Christ, our Savior. I think of the Revelation 1:5, when it talks of the Lord Jesus Christ. It talks of him, it says, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." when he had by himself purged our sins. Of course, as he's speaking here, we recognize that there is none other that could take away our sins. In the book of Hebrews, he'll go on and talk about and show that with all of the sacrifices that were given throughout the Old Testament scriptures, they were not able to take away our sin. They could only cover them until the perfect Lamb that would come. The Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, by himself purged our sins. And that certainly is a theme that we'll see throughout as we see in this book. And then in the rest of that verse it says, and he sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. His work was completed. He's there on the right hand of the throne, the place of power, the place of honor, the place of authority. He is on the very throne of heaven. Wow. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the very God of heaven, has been presented to us in these three verses. He's been presented to us in these three verses. The ultimate spokesman. The ultimate spokesman. Yes, we saw the prophets. God spoke through the prophets, but he has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. We saw him, Christ, as the owner and creator of all. He's the heir of all things, creator of everything that is, even those things that we don't know that are. Those things, he's creator of them too. Some of those things that the Lord gives time and ability for us to search out things, we might find there's a number of things that we don't know anything about. But he's the creator of them. He is God incarnate, God coming in the flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ, as we come to know him, we need to know that he is the very God. He is not just some high created being. He's not anything like Michael the archangel, so to speak, one of the most powerful of the angels. Not anything like him. He is God. He's our creator. He is God incarnate. He is the express image of the person of our God. He is all-powerful. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. The disciples wondered at him when he spoke and the winds and the waves stopped. And he says, what manner of man is this that the winds and the waves obey him? They had seen nothing. They'd only seen just a tiny little bit of his power when they saw that, and they were amazed at Jesus there. They were coming to know him. He is our Savior, having purged our sins, washed our sins in his own blood, and now reigning on the very throne, reigning on the throne of heaven. Our Lord and our God. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, I trust that you know him as the very God of heaven. Shall we pray? Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the revelation of the person of Jesus Christ. And oh, Lord, we know that men have rejected Christ. We know that they have tried to argue away all of his attributes, to make him nothing more than a man. But Lord, we know from your word that there's coming that time that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Oh Lord, may we recognize him now while there is opportunity. May we have that precious purchase price for our sins applied, that we be not yet in our sins, but we be washed and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. O Lord, we thank you for the one that gives life, and that you have given us our life. Life has come from you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Now, Lord, help us to respond to it as we ought. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Take your hymnals if you